Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. Thank you so much again for joining me this week. We're at the end of our week going through a section in Philippians chapter 4. At the beginning of the week, we were really propelled into this chapter by Paul's proclamation at the end of Philippians chapter 3, which Philippians chapter 3 is an amazing, each one of these chapters is amazing. Please go read all of Philippians. But he propels us into rejoicing in the Lord always through this reality that we are citizens of heaven. He's saying, this is who you are. And from who you are, I'm inviting you into a new way of living, a way of living that rejoices in all circumstances, a way of living that says, have no anxiety about anything, a way of living that lives in desperate dependence on God. And through that desperate dependence on God, he begins to transform us because our minds are guarded and transformed by the peace of Christ. And so as God pours out his peace, right? Yesterday, if you weren't with us, we talked about how the peace of God, that word, the word guard there in the Greek is like a military garrison. So it's like a soldier set up around our hearts and minds, guarding it with peace. It's just, it's an amazing image. And in that, we begin to transform through God's power. And we choose to give thanks. We choose to rejoice. We give all of our cares and our worries to him in prayer and supplication. It's a new reality that God is inviting us to in the power of the Holy Spirit. So we still have a good chunk to get through today on our last day. Let's go ahead and read some of Psalm 94. I'm going to be jumping around in Psalm 94 a little bit because it's kind of long. And then we're going to pray that and dive into the last little chunk that we have from the scriptures. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord is a God who avenges. O God who avenges, shine forth. Rise up, judge of the earth. Pay back to the proud what they deserve. How long will the wicked be jubilant? They pour out arrogant words. All the evildoers are full of boasting. They crush your people, Lord. They oppress your inheritance. They slay the widow and the foreigner. They murder the fatherless. They say the Lord does not see. The God of Jacob takes no notice. Blessed is the one you discipline, Lord, the one you teach from your law. You grant them relief from days of trouble till a pit is dug for the wicked. For the Lord will not reject his people. He will never forsake his inheritance. Judgment will again be founded on righteousness, and all the upright in heart will follow it. Lord, bring us your judgment and your discipline. For you are the righteous judge, and blessed is the man who is disciplined by you. So, Lord, we long for your love. We long for your joy. We long for your peace. And as disciples who are maturing in you, we long for your discipline. Purify our hearts, Lord Jesus. Set our hearts before you, that you may strip us of everything that is not of you, so we may walk blameless and holy in your sight. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I love that line because I think it's so intense, but I think it really becomes the longing of the mature disciple. Blessed is the one you discipline, Lord, the one you teach from your law. And I think we want to pray over and over and over again, that's a longing in our heart, that's something that we truly desire. Lord, I want to be disciplined by you because I know all of your discipline is good. I know that your discipline purifies me. I know that you as a good father discipline your children so we may be found blameless in your sight. Amen. All right, we have an amazing little chunk of scripture that we're going to walk through today. Yesterday, we left off saying, the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then Paul says this, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, If there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace will be with you. This is Paul, again, he's saying, rejoice, have no anxiety about anything, but we're seeing him really build off of Romans 12, right? Which is what? Which is be transformed by the renewal of your mind so that you may know what is the perfect and acceptable will of God. And so we see in multiple places in Paul's letters, him teaching us how to very practically transform and renew our minds. He says in so many different places, he says, put on the mind of Christ. And friends, what we're seeing here in Philippians 4 is he's saying, this is an action. Think on these things. Choose to think about certain things. So choose to renew your mind, transform your mind in the power of the Spirit through virtuous thinking. And we see the church teaches us how to form our conscience, how to pursue virtue, and how to renew our minds, right? And so he's saying, this is a way you can do that. Let's change our thinking. We've already said we're not going to be anxious about anything. We've already said we're going to be totally dependent on God. We've already said we're going to rejoice in him. And now I am a new creation through my baptism. I am a new man. And Paul says in multiple other places, like in Romans, he says, now put on the new man so that you may walk in newness of life. We need to make a choice each and every day. And this last little section gives us a perfect blueprint of how to do that. And I love at the end of that little section, it's amazing. Paul says, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So Paul's saying basically, if you imitate my life, you will have God's peace. That's an amazing thing to say. It's a very confident thing to say that he's saying, if I were to completely open up my life to you, and I want you to think about that, to say, if you're saying, I don't really need to renew my mind. If somebody came to you, this actually happened to me in the summer. Somebody came to me and they said, I want access to your life. I want to see, it was a younger person that I was discipling, and say, I want to see your friendships. I want to see how you disciple people. I want to see how you walk with the Lord, all of these different things. And it kind of scared me a little bit. Because I was like, oh no, Lord, like what is this person going to see in opening my life to them? But I think this is a convicting thing to say, if I gave someone complete access to my whole life, including my thought life, including how I live, all of these different things, what would happen? Would they gain peace or would they have a chaotic life? And Paul is saying, this is what I do. I think on what is honorable. I think on what is true. I think on what is just. And if you follow me in these ways, you will have peace. And so I think for many of us, if people actually followed the way that we live our lives, if people actually followed the steps that we're taking, if people actually followed the way that we really spoke to our families, the amount of prayer that we really took, all of these different things, their life sometimes would end up in more chaos than it would end up in peace. And so we need to renew our minds each and every day. So I want to go through each and every one of these things. So how do we do this? We think on whatever is true, right? So truth, not just factual accuracy, but truth is rooted in God himself. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. The Catechism says this, the Old Testament attests that God is the source of all truth. His word is truth. His law is truth. His faithfulness endures to all generations. So whatever is true. So there's a really obvious thing here saying, don't lie. Don't listen to lies. Don't think about lies. And it's like, we think about that and say, someone lied to me. But that's also, don't listen to the lies of the enemy. Lies about who you are. Don't listen to things that are like false about the human person, right? That includes music. That includes shows. I was thinking of, the Holy Spirit convicted me about a show that I was watching that like wasn't horribly explicit, but it was like, everyone in the show was like cheating on each other in relationships. And the show was like leading you to root for people to cheat in relationships. And so it's like, you felt like the natural thing is like, oh, I want this person to be with this person. So I'm rooting for that, even though it was violating the truth of their relationship. And the Holy Spirit was like, that's not thinking on what is true, even though it's quote unquote, just a show. So whatever is true, to pursue truth in speech, relationships, media, and in grounding ourselves in the truth about what the Catholic Church teaches about ourselves, about our lives, about human sexuality, about all of it. So whatever is true, reforming our minds, renewing our minds in the truth. 2, whatever is honorable. That Greek word is semno, which means noble or dignified. So what is worthy of respect or reverence? And this is often tied to holy living. So how does this work, right? Fill your mind with things that lift the soul. What is honorable? What is worthy of honor? Are some of the shows we're watching worthy of honor? Is some of our speech worthy of honor? Are some of the music that we listen to, even though it's just music, is that worthy of honor? What is noble and dignified? Even some of our friendships, are we spending time with people doing things that are noble and dignified? The way that we're approaching alcohol, or the way that we're approaching speech, is the way that we're approaching media, is the way that we're approaching all of these different things. Are we looking to what's noble and dignified and respectful? Whatever is just. Just is giving others what is due to them. Right relationship. This includes defending the dignity of every person. So what is owed to every person? Respect, honor, and as a Christian, charity. That I'm supposed to give every person charity. And so saying, am I acting in justice, or am I acting in injustice, depriving giving people charity? And what is my relationship like with the poor? Do I have any relationship with the poor? Do I give to the poor? Do I try to cultivate relationship with the poor? Whatever is just, am I giving others what is due to them? Whatever is pure. Cleanness of intention, chastity, and freedom from corruption, right? Whoever is pure will see God. This is not just sexual purity, although that's part of it, but it's also purity of our minds and hearts. How am I thinking about others? What am I choosing to dwell on? And purity is also, friends, related to our attachments. Am I too attached to certain relationships? Am I attached to TV shows, to music, to ways of living, to social media? Am I attached to things that are not of God? Because that creates in us a disordered attachment. And where things are disordered, they aren't pure. And so avoiding content, thoughts, and influences that really corrupt the soul, and training our imagination to dwell on what is holy. To dwell on what is holy. Whatever is lovely. I love this one. Things that delight in a holy way. Goodness, truth, beauty, kindness, compassion. When I think of lovely, I think of, have you ever seen the remake of Cinderella? Not like the most recent one that was a musical, but there was one with Lily James, and it was like a live action Cinderella. And the way that they portrayed Cinderella in that, she was so lovely. She was so kind. She was so virtuous. She was so delightful. And she was like this embodiment of like loveliness. Because she was pure and she was kind and she radiated this beauty that wasn't mainly just like her physical beauty. She was so beautiful because of who she was. Whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, always also translated as commendable. Things that attract right admiration, not for vanity, but because they reflect virtue. This is related to a good reputation, kindness, or winsomeness in character. So talking about things and thinking about things that edify people. Actions that show humility and grace. And then he says, if there is anything excellent or worthy of praise, think on these things. So Paul's saying, reshape your thought life. Whatever is true, whatever is just, whatever is gracious, whatever is worthy, whatever is lovely, think on these things, whatever is pure. And to his friends, actually purposely replace the thoughts of your mind and heart with things that are impure, with all of these things that are good. And then your life will be able to be imitatable, and it will be a life that will lead others to peace. God bless you. We'll see you next week.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.